there with you. Praise God. I met them several years ago for the first time. I think it was almost 10 years ago we met at a Rhema retreat, a Northeast Rhema retreat, and we just really connected, and several times I've had wonderful phone conversations with your pastor. Been up here when there was a couple ministering from Rhema. I believe they, not Bruce and Cindy Black, I get them mixed up. Kevin and Annie Durant, when they were up here. And so we so value the ministry that God is bringing forth through you and in what God is doing in the Northeast. Amen? He's doing some wonderful things. And it's not by accident that this church is here. It's not by accident that your pastor, however many years ago, had it in his heart to be here. God is doing something supernatural. And as the word that came forth today at the end of worship, God is on the move. And these are the last days. And it's vital that we find our place. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to find your place. And then turn to your neighbor and say, you got to stay in it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm here with my lovely wife and family. And we have a wonderful church back there in Westchester County, New York, just north of New York City, and we've been pioneering now for a little over 8 years, and I say we've been pioneering because it's a work, and it is a labor, and it is as unto the Lord, but there is fruitfulness, and there are people's lives that are being changed. That's why we do it. Amen. That's why your pastor does what he does. This church doesn't exist just to exist, to be another building on a block, to take up space on a Sunday morning, to be another place where people can just go and feel good about themselves. This church has a divine destiny on it, and this church has an anointing from God that is beyond an individual, it's beyond a family, it's beyond what, and it is in God's heart, because when God said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, God was saying, I will do business on planet Earth through my church. And He wants to do business through you. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Amen. I've got a message. That's not it. I'm so excited about today's message. I was preparing, and God was just putting some things in my heart over these last several weeks as I knew I'd be coming, and it just started to really come together as I was driving down the road. We were on vacation this last week, and it started coming together, you know. And then God began to just reveal some things to me. I haven't even shared them with my own church, so I'm really excited. You're gonna be the guinea pigs today. Don't take any offense to that, all right? Amen. Praise God. Let's go before the Father in prayer this morning. Father, we thank You for Your holy written word. We thank You, Father God, that it provides life and nourishment to us. God, that we are changed forever in Your presence and by Your word. Thank You, Holy Ghost, for taking hold and teaching as I teach. Thank You, Father God, for revealing things in the hearts of believers. God, that You would literally just rearrange us, cause us to think differently, to act differently, to speak differently, to be transformed because we've been together. That it's not just something that we do by rote or something that we do by habit, but Father God, that there would be an impartation by Your Holy Spirit that we could point to on this day and say, God, You got a hold of my heart. You did something different. You did something new. You revealed something specifically to me or encouraged me in. Father, I thank You for doing that today. Lord, I submit myself to You today to be used by You, God. Lord, I just pray right now, God, that You would just make us all open vessels of Your Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. We'll get moving in on this. Praise God. Woo! If I run, does anybody run here? I might get excited. Glory to God. Oh, my. Glory to God. I'm excited. There is something that God is just brewing. Hallelujah. Just Good stuff's happening. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to get into the Word this morning. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Verse 1. It says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.' But Abram said, 'O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir.' Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' He took him outside and he said, 'Look up at the heavens, count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness." Hallelujah. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "Get out of your tent." Get out of your tent. Tell them like you mean it. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know that if in some translations, that's exactly what it says in verse 5, that God took him outside of his tent. That God literally had to take him outside of his circumstances. That he literally had to take him outside what was familiar, what was safe, and get him to see the bigger picture. Today, I want to talk to you about changing your thinking. Changing your thinking. Developing our believing and living in the promise. Changing your thinking. Develop our believing and living in the promise. You know, so many believers that I know, especially Word of Faith believers, believers that have been taught just like your pastor has taught here, a good solid message of faith, a solid message of believe the Word, confess the Word, and walk in the Word. I see so many times, though, that we've received the promise, but we're still limiting. We're still limiting ourselves. We're still limiting where we see ourselves, what God is doing in us, what God wants to do. His desire is so much greater and so much grander in the scheme of things. I heard a passionate plea from our Heavenly Father this morning through the word that the sweet lady brought forth. And I heard God say that the time was short and that these were the last days. I heard God say that it was time for us to step up to the plate, if you will, and be about His business. Be about His things. Now I want you to notice something about the story of Abraham here. Abraham, we jumped ahead into chapter 15. But chapter 12, I want you to see something and see if you can relate this to your own life. We're talking about changing our thinking today. Changing our thinking. If you look in chapter 12, it says that the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country," this is verse 1, "your people, your father's household, and go to the land I show you." Look at what verse 2 says. It says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all of the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." Now, I want you to see something here. We jumped ahead in the story. Abram had already received the promise in chapter 12, but he needed a little kick in the pants in chapter 15. How many of you feel like you're in chapter 15? Because so often, just because you have a promise stuck to your refrigerator or to your medicine cabinet doesn't mean that you have walked in it. Listen, I know what I'm talking about because sometimes I feel like I'm there. But this morning, God says, get out of your tent. Turn to your neighbor and say, get out of your tent. Because what happens is God has got to get us to see it. He's got to get us to see it by the eye of faith. If He can get you to see it, He can get it to you. But so often we're still living inside the tent. What does that tent represent to you and me? What kind of place is that? That tent is a place of limitation. It's a place of confinement. It's a place of I can't instead of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That tent is a place of comfort. After all, it was Abram's house. It was the thing that he dwelt in. It was the place that he lived. In fact, back then in those times, those tents were elaborate. They didn't just pop them up like you go buy at Cabela's or somewhere, you know, and pop that tent up. That's not the kind of tent he lived in. It took man hours. It took people. It was his home. It was kind of like a motorhome, except for with camels. It was his place that he was comfortable in. But I noticed in chapter 15 that God literally had to take him out of that comfort place physically. And he told him to look up. And God showed him the stars. And then God began to speak to him about the promise that he said to him in chapter 12. How many times has God spoken something to you and you were delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed, and before long the little yellow sticky tab that you had the verse written out, and you know it kind of gets shuffled back to the side somewhere, and you know you were cleaning the refrigerator and you moved the little scripture verse that you had on the refrigerator, you moved it and you kind of put it in the junk drawer. Oh, I'll get to it. And oh, company's coming. And you know, what are you doing? You're starting to back up. You're starting to shrink back. You're starting to say, well, you know, I've been waiting for a long time. When, God, when? When, God, when? I want to talk to you today about changing your thinking. I want to talk to you today about taking off that limitation and starting to see things the way God wants you to see some things. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. Keep your finger here. We'll probably come back. I might get back there. I'm excited about this today because I feel like God is not only dealing with us, but I believe that He has a sure word today. In fact, He spoke to me last night and He said that there would be some of you today that He is going to literally take outside of your comfort zone. And He's going to speak some things to you. Amen? Amen. So get ready. Say, He's speaking. Amen. 1 Peter, if you would, please. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Look at what the Word of God says to us. And by the way, if anything that I'm saying to you today sounds familiar, maybe your pastor has said it to before, don't turn off on me. Because the Holy Ghost is wanting to reinforce some things. The Apostle Paul said, it's no trouble for me to remind you of some things. Listen, I have children, and my wife even has to remind me sometimes of stuff, right? I mean, I'm over 40 now. So, hon, don't forget that, you know. She'll send me down to the basement and ask me to do something. We've been married 20 years. And so I can tell off, you know, and she can tell off on me. But here, the deal is this, you know, she'll send me down for, go get a, you know, some milk. I'll go down there. I'll do something else. Come back up. I won't have the milk in my hand. She'll look at me. She'll go, where's the milk? Oh, so got to go down and get the milk. So if I'm reminding you of some things that your pastor has reminded you of, then look at it as reinforcement. You know, I like to encourage people that every time you approach the Word of God, whether it is through a devotional setting where you're going through your Bible reading, or whether it is somebody is ministering the Word of God, then you need to look at it and say, there are two things that can happen here today. I can either get a brand new revelation on something I've never seen before, or I can get reinforced on something else that's already in the Word, and it's just going to get stronger in me. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm getting stronger. Amen. So the Word tells us very clearly here that His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Look at what verse 5 says. For this very reason, because of all those wonderful promises, in other words, make every effort. Turn to your neighbor and say, every effort. Get out of the tent. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Hallelujah. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail or fall. You will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to see something that God is wanting to shake and rattle you a little bit and start to get you to open up and see some things. Now, years ago, as a young man, I grew up in South Florida. And some people say, how in the world did you end up in the Northeast? Well, God just sent me here. And that's the truth. He had me meet a lovely wife from New York. See, I was smart. I married a New Yorker. And hallelujah. Also married an Italian, because I wasn't an Italian. So any Italians in here, I'm a wannabe Italian. I always joked, when I was dating my wife, I said, my last name's Michelonio. I have a long lost uncle. His name is Schlamazzi Michelonio. I'm digressing. Anyway, growing up in South Florida, there were a lot of things that you learn. Up here, you guys learn how to deal with snow, right? I remember in seventh grade, it snowed in South Florida, and they shut the schools down. Any young people in here? They shut the schools down. It was flurrying. And they said, we can't have those poor children go to school. This is a true story, because we don't have any heat in the building. All we have is air conditioning. So they actually sent us home, and it was an amazing day. But I learned a lot about water sports. So I learned how to water ski. I would spend my summers in the Bahamas. Somebody has to suffer for Jesus. So consequently, I learned how to sail. And any sailors in here? Any sailors? I haven't sailed in many years, but those little small sailboats, I learned how to do that. And, one of the things that we had to learn about sailing is that you had to learn to set your sail in the right way. Because just because it's windy and just because you're in the boat doesn't mean that you're going to get to the other side. Now, I want you to apply that to you spiritually. Just because you have a promise stuck on your refrigerator or on your medicine cabinet doesn't mean you're going to live in it. It's the truth anyhow. And it's not God's fault when you're not living in it. Because God's given us everything we need. We just read it, didn't we? Right? This isn't Pastor Doug who said it. We just read it. God's given you everything you need. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got everything you need to get out of the tent. See, the limitations that are on us, the enemy would love for you to stay limited. The enemy would love this church to stay limited. I have found that God speaks, and in my years of ministry, I have found that God deals with mankind on multiple levels. He deals with us individually, thanks be to God. But He also deals with us as families. Remember how He dealt with Eli's household? Do you remember how He dealt with David's household? He said, the sword will never depart your household because of what He had did with Bathsheba, right? He said to Eli, He cut Eli's family off because of the... So God deals with individuals. He deals with families. He deals with people groups. How many times do we read in the Old Testament where He talks about this people group and that people group and how He... And going on and on. And then we even see it in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul deals with Cretans. He talks about Cretans, right? And he doesn't say anything very nice about Cretans. He says they're liars, they're gluttons, they're drunks. Because sometimes God does deal with people groups. It doesn't mean that if you're from Crete that you have to be a glutton or a drunk. It's just that when God deals with people, He deals with groups sometimes. And when God deals with churches, He's dealing with this church. God has an anointing. He's got something for this church that you've got to see. And if you can start to see it, He'll get it to you. There is a place for you, both individually and corporately. There is a plan of God for this church. Why God sent Pastor Jay and Pam to this place to do what they're doing so that this group of people, God had it in His heart to raise this church up to be on this street corner at this time in these last days to do a work for Him that He would be glorified. But you've got to set your sail the right way. Your sail has got to be set the right way. I'll never forget learning how to sail. I got in the boat. I had the life vest on. And I'm all excited because I'm going to go across the sound. Well, about an hour later, I'm still out there floundering around. I looked like a beached whale. You know, all over, you know, the boat's tipping. The wind would be blowing. The mast would go this way and that way. But when I learned to set my sail and catch the wind and point the boat in the right direction and look to where I was going and start to steer the way I needed to steer, I needed to learn to lean into the wind. I needed to learn to set my sail. See, changing our thinking is setting your sail. Changing your thinking the way God is wanting you to think, the way God is wanting you to see some things in your life. He wants to change the way you think about things. Change the way you see things. What is it that you see? As I said, if He can get you to see it, He can get you to have it. And that's why in Ephesians, turn with me real quick to Ephesians. Hallelujah. You don't mind going around the Bible here, right? This is a word church. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Woo! If you look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, if you don't pray this for yourself, I want to encourage you to do so because I think it will add such tremendous value to your life. In verse 17, it says this in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I want you to see that as you change your thinking, your eyes, that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. You see, Abraham had already been given that promise in chapter 12. He had already been given the promise, but it wasn't until God had to take him out of his tent and get him to change his thinking a little bit and get him to see a little clearer. And God used a visual illustration. God showed him the stars. And Abraham was able to connect the dots, because when he saw the visual picture of the stars, and God said, "That is what I'm going to do with you." What's God saying to you? What is he trying to get you out of in your comfort zone? What is he trying to really open you up with? Maybe it's a ministry area in this church. Maybe it's a ministry that needs to be birthed in this church. Maybe it's something that God is saying to you, and you said, "Well, God, I'm not a willing, you know, I love you, Lord, and I'll do whatever you want." And then we say that in praise and worship. But then when God really starts to deal with us, and the wind is rustling, if you will, and he's trying to get you out of your comfort zone, what are you saying to God then? When God says to you to do something that might be radical, how could I do that? I want to give you an example from my own church. Recently, I ministered, and I'm not going to do that today, but I ministered on the subject of your God-given dream several months back. It's been about a year ago now. And there's a lady in my church who is in her 60s. I won't tell you her full age, but she's in her 60s. She's been a licensed nurse. She's been to Bible school. She's been a missionary. She's done a lot of things in life. She's a wonderful lady. Many times I'll even ask her to minister the word when I'm not around, or sometimes I am around and I'll just want her to minister the word. And she knows the voice of God. She's just a wonderful servant of God in the body of Christ. Well, I was ministering on your God-given dream. And God began to deal with her right there in the service. And I said to her, or I said in the context of the sermon, and it was as if God was speaking to her. I said, you know, that some of you need to go back and pick up those dreams that you had when you were younger. Pick them up. Instead of saying, "I can't," pick them up. Well, this lady, she decided that she was going to act on the word, because she had a dream when she was younger that she would become a doctor. Now, I don't know if you know anything about becoming a doctor. We've got a young man in our church that just became a doctor, and we all celebrated with him because we've been praying him through the last 3 years. All those tests and hoops and placements and fits and matches, I don't even understand half of it. And here we have this woman who's in her 60s. And God begins to say, "Pick it up." She picks it up. And at the right place at the right time, God took her out of her comfort tent and is stretching her to the max. Right now, she is in med school. She got accepted. She said she's the oldest one in the class. She's sitting there. She's, you know, trying to, you know, everyone takes out their laptop and she takes out a pen and paper. She is walking in her God-given dream. God took her out of that tent. That place of confinement that says you're too old, you can't. And God says, "I say you can, and I put that dream in you." Some of you, you've messed up in life. Maybe you've been divorced and you've had remarriages and you've gotten all kinds of things going on in your life. You're in financial difficulty. You're this, you're that, and you're just kind of, Pastor, I'm just kind of keeping one nostril above water. It's just a miracle that I came to church today. You might be in that position, but God may be just trying to speak to you and say, get out of that tent of limitation, that tent of comfort, and say, no. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not a cliche. That's not just a bumper sticker that we gloss over. Come on, people. How often is that these common verses that are used so often, that we gloss over the power and we rob them and deny God working in our lives through them? Because, well, I've heard that before. Well, I have that series by Joyce Meyer and it's on my shelf. You might have listened to it 3 times and it's still not on your shelf. It's not in your heart. And that's the reason why you're not walking in the promise. Hallelujah. That's good preaching, Doug. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to start thinking in line with the Word. How are we going to change our thinking? What does that look like? That was the question as I was preparing. I said, okay, God, what does that look like for abounding grace? What does that look like for the guy that came in? How do they get out of their tent? Well, first of all, I feel like God supernaturally gives us those moments where He takes us out of the tent. I think sometimes circumstances, they're not sent by God, but in the middle of those circumstances, sometimes it causes us to just say, hey, God. How many times do you know the drug addict that hit rock bottom? That's when he looked up. And that's when he or she saw the promise. Amen. I have a good friend who runs a drug rehabilitation program for men down in Yonkers, New York, which is right on the border of the Bronx. And he lives with these men. And just a fabulous preacher, man of God. And one of the things that he will do sometimes is he will look at these men. It's amazing. He has a place for 14 men to get their lives together. Right, literally, for lack of a better term, it's on the devil's doorstep. I mean, it's in a bad part of town, and they've got this house, and they've got a fence around it, and everybody knows that that's the house where Pastor Frank lives. Everybody knows that that's where the flock, they call it the shepherd's flock. That's where the flock lives. And when the weather gets cold, and things get kind of tough, they get a string of young men that come and want to get their lives straight. But they hadn't hit rock bottom yet. And he'll look at them and he'll say, are you finished? Are you sure you're finished? Are you done? Are you done with that? Has that really paid off the way you want it? Because if you're done, we can help you. If you're not, then we can't. And many times he'll turn them away. Now here's the thing. What about you and your circumstance? See, sometimes you're in a circumstance and it's rattling you to the core. And God is wanting you to walk out of that circumstance and just clear the vision, if you will, and look up and start seeing the promise of God. Look up and start saying, okay, God, what next? I'll take you at your word. Notice what Abraham did in Genesis chapter 15. It said he believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, if you read that, and you can go back and read it on your own, I encourage you. There's so many wonderful truths in this story. But in Genesis chapter 12, God gives the promise in a very general form. I'm going to bless you through all the nations of the earth. You'll be blessed. God gets real specific with him when he takes him outside of his tent. When you're ready, say, I'm ready. When you're ready, God will take you outside of the tent. And for some of you, it might mean letting go of something that's actually good. I'll never forget it. When God began to deal with my wife and me, I was on staff at a church of 1,200 at one point. I had a wonderful office. I was raised up in that church. My wife was a fifth grade teacher. We were fairly newly married. And she had her classroom two doors down from my office. I lived 3 minutes from the beach, 5 minutes from my family. The convenience was wonderful. No snow to shovel, no ice to deal with. God was good. Life was good. Things were going well. I was right-hand man to the senior pastor. I could preach anytime I wanted. If I actually said to him, hey, I got something on my heart, he'd say, okay, I'll put it on the calendar. Boom, done. When he was out of town, you're in charge, Doug. Things were going real good. But there was a stirring going on in my heart. And I'll never forget it. God began to deal with me. We were on vacation. And God was just dealing with me. Dealing with me. I loved being a youth minister. I still love being around youth. In fact, we had youth camp early July with a lot of the Rhema churches in the Northeast. And we just had a blast. And I love being around young people. And when God began to deal with me, I thought I was going to be youth pastor, associate pastor, pretty much for the rest of my life. And God began to deal with me. He says, I need you to go back to Rhema. And at this point, I had never been to Rhema. Now, you have to understand something. As a 17-year-old, newly saved, I got a hold of three books that changed my destiny. One of them was The New Birth. The other one was In Him. And the other one was Why Tongues. Those three little mini books changed my life and destiny. When I got a hold of those, God dealt with me and I wanted to go to Rhema Bible Training Center in the worst way. And my dad wouldn't let me. And I ended up going to ORU. And I thought, well, if I can't be at Rhema, at least I can go to ORU. Then I'm only miles away. My dad said, no, I want you to go get a regular college degree. After you do that, then you can go to Rhema, and that's great. But you're too young. You need to get a college education first. I said, okay. And I have to say I thank my dad for that decision because God still wanted me to go to Rhema, but I just didn't have the time right. And God opened up the door. He began to deal with me. Not only did he deal with me, but he provided supernaturally. And this is what happened. I got kicked out of my tent. I had that nice office. I was convenient. Things were good. Don't rock the boat. And God began to deal with me. I remember when I finally came to the realization that God was saying, hey, I got other things I want you to do. I cried like a baby. I curled up on a couch in fetal position and bawled because I loved what I was doing. But I also knew God was dealing with me and saying something else was coming. Something else was coming. My heart was missions. My heart was youth. And I really thought that that was all going to somehow play together. And then God began to deal with me. And then somebody came up and said, hey, I just want to offer this to you. Rhema grad. He said, I want to pay your way to Rhema for 2 years. I got kicked out of my tent. And I said, let me think about that. Then somebody else found out about that and said, I'll pay your wife's tuition for 2 years. What's God doing? He's kicking us out of our tent. We were out at that point. So now we go off to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't have a job. But I'm a preacher. Surely, somewhere in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I can get a job as a preacher. I put my resume out for 3 weeks. I'm pounding the pavement. My wife got a job 3 days before, 3 days when we were there. I'm sitting at home teaching the cat tricks. My wife would come home and she'd say, honey, you know, we're waiting for school to start. She'd say, honey, what'd you do today? And I go, well, I tried to get a job here, there, and everywhere. They all said, oh, you're an ORU grad? Theology? You're a preacher. Okay, we'll file it. No problem. We got about 10 of you. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm praying and teaching the cat how to sit on command. So my wife would come home from work, and I'd say, look, honey, look what I taught the cat. I was out of my comfort zone. I didn't know what to do with myself. The first Sunday that we were at Rhema Bible Training Center's church, I was so used to being kind of on autopilot in the church that I was at. I was sitting on about the third row where this sweet lady is right now, or maybe second row. And they called for the pastoral staff, and I went on autopilot. My wife has to pull me down. She goes, not you, silly, them. I had some embarrassing moments that way. But God was dealing with us, and we went to Rhema. We were finished with Rhema. God began to deal with us. And again, God would rustle our cage. When you get comfortable on things, you get comfortable. And God wants to just change that comfort zone that you're in. You got to change your thinking. You got to stop saying, I can't. You've got to stop saying, I can't. You've got to start saying, I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can. And turn to him and say, get out of that tent. Now, I'm probably, you know, Pastor Jay, if you're listening, I hope I didn't mess your church up too bad. Turn with me. You're very close there. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to see something. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're talking about changing your thinking, developing your believing, and living in the promise. Changing your thinking, developing your believing, and living in the promise. That's what getting out of the tent means. Now, if you look there, it says this. If go ahead and pick up in verse 8. It says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For you are God's workmanship. Let that settle just for a minute. You're God's workmanship. He doesn't create junk. Amen. You're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Say good works. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I want you to notice something about this verse. God prepared some works in advance for you to do. And this came so alive to me several years ago when I was meditating on this verse, that I recognized that if the good works are something like this music stand, and I'm taking liberties here. Let's see. I want to make sure everybody see this? Okay. All right. If this is the good works that you are supposed to be headed to, all right? And if I am Joe Believer over here, and God has these works in advance for me to do, He's got some amazing things for your life. You know, all you have to do is read Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. God's plans for you are not to make you miserable. Some of you young people, don't be afraid to say yes to God. You know, some people are afraid to say yes to God because they think He's going to send you to Africa or something to make you eat something strange. You know, listen, if He does send you to Africa, you're going to want to go. Trust me. That's the way it works. Once your heart is set right, then it doesn't matter what He tells you to do. You want to do it. Because it's not your will, it's His will. And it becomes the desire of your heart to please Him. And so the good works are an advance for you to do. The problem with most believers is as they're walking through their life, this doesn't happen. Whoa. This does not happen by accident. Understand, this does not happen by accident that you intersect with these good works. You still have a part to play. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got a part to play. You see, if you could go through your entire life, and maybe there's some young people in here that need to hear this, you could go through your entire life and you could miss the works. You're going to get to heaven. Yeah, your name's written in the book of life, but you're going to miss the works. Why? Because You didn't take the limitations off. You didn't get out of the tent, your comfort zone. For me, going to Rhema and giving up a 10-year position at a church was getting out of my comfort zone. When I was 17 and God began to deal with me about going to ORU, because that became kind of something that God began to deal with me. When my dad said no to Rhema, I didn't know what to do. And God began to deal with me and say, go to ORU. Well, then I said, yeah, I'm going to go to ORU. I'd never been away from home. 17 years old. I didn't have any money. I had $500 to my name. You don't go to college with $500 to your name. How many know what I'm talking about? But when God says something, He's got things in advance. But you have to take a step and start stepping and stepping His way, His way, His way, so that you intersect with those good works. But you could live your life. Hear me. This is urgent. You could live your life and never intersect with the good works that He has in advance for you to do. And when you get to heaven, and if you know Jesus, you're going to be there. Are you going to? Wouldn't you want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant? You don't want Him to just say, well, you're done. Come on in. We have got to get to that point where we say, God, I'm yours. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I'm not in my own eyes. And see the picture that the things that He has in advance for you to do, that you walk in them. There's so many wonderful things that He has. So many wonderful things that I've experienced. And I've usually only experienced them when I've stepped out in faith, and then I eventually met up with the good work that was there in advance. I met up with the good work that was there in advance. You see, that is the thing I'm trying to get a hold of you, get you to see today, is that on an individual basis, God's dealing with you to get out of the tent, to change your thinking. On a corporate basis, what is He dealing with you as a church? To get out of your tent, your thinking, your limitations on what you think that we can be, what you think we can do. You see, as you see God and connect the dots and get out of your limitations, then you can do whatever it is that God puts in your heart to do. If He says go to medical school and you're beyond the age, you can go to medical school. When He says go to college and you say I don't have any money, but He told you to go to college, guess what? You can go. When He says for you to go to Bible school and you say, God, I don't know how it's going to happen. I had a couple in my church that served faithfully in our church for 6.5, almost 7 years. And when God spoke to them to retire, sell their house, cash their chips in, if you will, and go to Bible school. One of the gentlemen in the family, he had not been to school since high school. And now he's in his 60s and God says, go to school. And he went and he obeyed. And they finished their first year of Rhema this last year. Going on to their second, going to be in the missions program. God's going to send them on the mission field. What is that? Getting out of the limitations. Getting out of the limitations. Get out of that limitations. Get out of the tent. Change your thinking. You know, if we would change our thinking, it would change our believing. It would change what we are believing. You know, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, I'm sure you know it well. About how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And when you understand that your changing your thinking is going to change your believing. When you change your believing, you're going to start living in the promise. You're going to start speaking it more. When Abram had his name changed to Abraham, there was a transformational process in his life. He got the promise. He got taken out of the tent. And then the promise was fulfilled in his life. It was interesting to me because not only was the promise fulfilled in his life through Isaac, but I noticed something else, that after Sarah died, he got married again, had more children. Come on, folks. The promise of God is beyond what is logical or reasonable in the natural. And it's awesome when you can walk in it. Whether it's healing or prosperity, just because you read it once doesn't mean you've got it. You have a part to play. You know, I'm somewhat of a computer bug, and you know, I noticed in computer lingo, my dad was always in computers, and one of the things, he was a programmer, and before he retired, and now he's in real estate in Florida. Pray for him. But he would always tell me as a kid, and I didn't totally get it until I developed a little bit myself, garbage in, garbage out. What are you thinking about? The Bible tells us what to think on so that our believing is changed. You know, in Philippians, it tells us to think on these things, right? Think on these things. And then it gives us a list of all the things we're to think on. If we would change our thinking to the promise of God, change our thinking to avoid those limitations and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I was in that boat learning how to sail, and I finally learned that I could get the rudder going the right way. The Bible talks about our tongue like a rudder. The Bible says that out of our mouth, you could have words of life or words of death. And it's up to you. Those who understand it, they eat the fruit thereof. And so as I was learning how to sail and set my sail the right way, lean into the wind, I could get to the other side where I needed to be. You can get to the other side. You can get out of your tent. What does that look like? It means that when the bill comes to you and says that you are in debt up to your eyeballs, like that commercial, the guy driving around, how do I do it? I'm in debt up to my eyeballs. When the bill comes, when the doctor's report comes, when your nagging self-image says to you, you're no good and you're not smart enough and you can't do it, the spirit man on the inside rises up and says, no. No. Because you have not just taken the promise, but now you've seen it because God's taken you out of your tent. When the bill comes, instead of being limited by the bill, you say, you know, Bill, I'm going to give you a problem, Bill. My name's Doug, and I believe in God. And I believe God has met all my needs according to His riches and glory. And Bill, you're paid in Jesus' name. And we're gonna do our part. We're not going to deny. We're not going to deny that it's there, but we're going to do our part. And we're going to watch this go. We're going to watch this dematerialize. My church just recently went through a situation, a financial issue, and I watched God do a miraculous turnaround. I've watched Him. Now, we're still in the middle of it. Glory to God. But guess what? I watched, not only did I watch God deal with a back debt that we had as a church, I watched us come up even. Then when I sat down with our landlord and I said, okay, it's time to renegotiate the lease, he lowered our rent. That's God. That's taking off the limitations. What does that look like to my life, Pastor? It means that when you don't think that you've got what it takes to work with teenagers, but God says to you, go work with teenagers. When God says to an FBI agent back in 1980, start a Bible study in your home. He looked at his wife. Actually, God spoke to the wife first. Sometimes He does that. He talks to the man first. The man just doesn't listen. True anyhow. So in 1980, God speaks to this woman, says, you're supposed to have a Bible study in your house for teenagers. She tells her husband. Her husband looks at her and says, you are crazy. I can't stand teenagers. I have no patience for them whatsoever. And we have four kids of our own, and you're going to say, and they were all little kids. He says, and we're supposed to open up our house? And she says, yes. He says, well, I got to pray about that. So he goes and he prays about it. God begins to deal with him, and then he goes away on a retreat. Sometimes God has to deal with you and take you out of your comfort zone and supernaturally deal with you like he did with Abraham. And God said, no. His name was Lee Kaiser. He said, Lee, you got to do this. He came home, tears streaming down his face. He told his wife, okay, when do we start? All he had was a guitar and some silly songs. And what started out as six teenagers in his house in 1980 grew to about 60 teenagers in his house. From all different denominations, Catholic, Methodist, Baptist. Guess what? I got invited. And I walked in and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I walked in and got a hold of the power of God. I walked in and started experiencing God like I had never experienced him before. We started bringing our friends. Jewish kids were getting saved. Atheist kids were getting saved. Kids that were in the occult were getting saved. We called it Saturday Night Live. In 1982, God began to deal with him about doing some other things in ministry. And you know how sometimes God will change the program. And God changed the program. And he went on to being a pastor and doing some other things. But during that 2-year time frame, the lost that were saved, the young people that were changed, and today, I can point to seven or eight full-time ministers that came out of that group. What is God telling you to get out of your tent about? And what kind of excuse are you giving him? I can't. I'm too busy. My tent is too nice. I'm comfortable here. I got my HDTV. I got my couch. I don't want to go to youth group. I don't want to teach in Sunday school. But do you want to intersect with the good works? I bet if you ask Lee Kaiser, Lee, do you regret opening up your home to teenagers? He would say, absolutely not. Because today, not only were many of those people that I mentioned ministers, I'm one of them. But there is one gentleman that became a missionary evangelist to Africa, and during his 14 years of living on the field, won over 2 million people to the Lord. Wow. Now, saw the dead raised, and saw amazing, I am talking Book of Acts miracles, and today he is helping to pioneer and plant churches in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. Folks, the power of you stepping out of your tent cannot be minimized. Because what you do affects so many others. You have a part to play individually, but you have a part to play corporately. If everyone would do his part in this church would explode like you wouldn't believe. If everybody would get up and get out of his tent, his comfort zone. I'm not talking out of obligation to Pastor Jay, but out of sheer love for Jesus. When you start doing that, and putting the kingdom of God first, you watch what God does. Because things happen. Lives are changed. Today I've simply challenged you to change your thinking. Get rid of those limitations. Develop your believing. What are you spending your time? What are you focusing on? And live in the promise that God has for you. Because I guarantee you, It is a life that is worth living. It is a life filled with adventure. When I answered the call of God on my life, I had no idea what He would do with me. I had no idea. And God says to me very often, "You're still training." Okay. Thanks, God. When I was 17 and answered that call, I didn't know I'd go to Russia. I didn't know that I would go and pioneer a church in the Caribbean. I didn't know that I would start a church in Westchester County. I didn't know that I would end up in the Czech Republic helping a church to be established there through our church. I didn't know that God was going to do those things. Folks, you're looking at a guy, and young people, listen. You're looking at a guy who was an average, sometimes below average student in high school. A guy that, when I was in junior high, was afraid to speak in public. But God took me out of my tent. And I say, for His glory. For His glory. Would you stand to your feet, please? Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel like supernaturally God is telling some of you some things. You already know what He's dealing with you about. You already know. For some of you, it's holding back on a life of reckless abandon. It's not enough just to have the promise pasted on your bumper, on your medicine cabinet. God wants you to live in the promise. Live in the promise. Man, wouldn't trade it for the world. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give an opportunity for people to come to know Jesus for the first time, to be born again. Because that's the first step to getting out of your comfort zone. If you're really honest with yourself about it, if you don't know Jesus, your tent's a miserable place anyway. It's time to get out of that tent, give your life to Jesus, and walk with Him. If that's you in this place, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, "I want Jesus in my life, I want to live for Him, and I'm willing to follow Him all the days of my life. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who He said He is. He's the Son of the living God. He died for my sins. And I want to have a relationship with Him." If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand and just wave it at me and say, "That's me. I want to be born again." Thank you, sir. And keep that hand up. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. Keep those hands up. If you're here today and you want to recommit your life to Jesus, you want to recommit. You want to say, "You know, I've known Jesus, but now I've done my own thing, and it's time that I really recommit to Him." If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand and say, that's me. I want to recommit my life. I'm ready to get out of my tent. I'm ready to do what He tells me to do. Slip up your hand if that's you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if you all would just pray this simple prayer out loud with me. Let's pray this together. Say, "Father God, I come to You. I thank You that Your Son Jesus came to die for my sins. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And I receive Jesus into my life. I ask Him to forgive me of my sins. I confess Him as my Lord and Savior. I recommit to Him as my Lord and Savior today. Thank You, Father, for forgiving me, for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you. Just thank Him for it right now. Just all of us. Can we just thank Him? Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. I want to do this right now. Praise God. I'm just looking at my time. If you're here and God, you just know that as the message was going forth, you just supernaturally knew in your spirit God was dealing with you about getting out of your comfort zone in some arenas of your life, leaving some stuff behind. It could have been habits. It could have been a lot of things that you're comfortable with. But God's really dealing with you, and He's trying to get you to see that promise. I want you just to make your way to the front. I just want to pray for you real quick. It's not going to be a long thing. I don't want to embarrass you. But I want to know, God's just dealing with you. He's dealing with you. He's dealing with you about some things. And I just feel like God wants to minister to you in a special way. Some of you, it could be a ministry. It could be sending you off to school. It could be a ministry right here in this church that He's trying to get you to step to the plate, but you've been reluctant. Come on, make some room. Come on up. Make some room. You've been reluctant. God's dealing with you to do some things. It could be a ministry of giving. It could be a business. You know, you might think that that's odd, but you know, in these last days, we need some Spirit-filled entrepreneurs that have ideas that will actually fund the gospel and fund missionaries around the world and help fund churches and not just keep the lights on, but actually pay for some technology to get out there in the marketplace and get this message, this awesome message of the gospel out. If that's you, come on, anybody. Entrepreneurs, things God's dealing with you. Get out of your tent. You've been content. Man, I'll tell you, somebody here has been content just to take the paycheck from their employer and to accept the limitations on that paycheck and on that life. And God's been dealing with you for years to start a business. It's getting quiet in here. I feel like that's for somebody. I don't know who it is. If that's you, at some point today, come and talk to me. I just want to encourage you. Because, you know, there are more millionaires that were made during the Great Depression than you could imagine. Because they were at the right place at the right time. So don't discount today's economy. When God says for you to do something, you step out and you do it. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Those of you that have come forward, I want you to lift your hands because what you've come to receive doesn't come from me. It comes from God, and He's dealing with you. And I just want to pray, and I'm just going to just do a real quick prayer, but I just want to agree with you and hook up with you. I'm going to ask my wife to come and help me pray. We're just going to go down the line. We're just going to pray for you, just agree with you, that God would just give you the next step. It's the next step. Say the next step. Say the next step. See, say, I'm out of my tent. But now the next step. What now, God? See, when God gives you a promise, now you've got some action steps. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? All right, He's going to show you. He's going to show you. Amen? Congregation, stretch forth your hands to these. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I agree. Thank you. Next step. Next step in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, the next step. The next step. Thank you, Lord God. Impartations from the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God. The next step. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, yeah. Remove the limitations, the obstacles and the barriers now. In Jesus' name.